John chapter 6, verse 5 to 14. That's where we're going to read from. Right, then the Lord Yeshua lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Yeshua said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Yeshua took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Yeshua did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is come to the world." Let's just go to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Father God, we thank you for your precious word. Help us to rightly divide it this morning. Help us to understand it, or understand what you are saying to us through it. We clearly grasp what it is that we have to do about it, Lord, and be changed by you, Holy Spirit, from within. Thank you that that's what gathering together is all about, enjoying one another, but enjoying you and allowing you to influence us, to change us, Lord, into what you want us to be. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. The title of this message is Sharing Our Lives. All right? Sharing our lives. Now, we must realize, as we all do, that we're in a spirit battle. And please understand, one of the big tricks of the devil is to isolate people. All right? His big trick is to isolate people. We had a gentleman in the church for a short while. He was studying here, and he was from Swaziland. And he explained how, when he was a young boy, he had to look after the livestock. And he said he noticed something. If one of the cattle or one of the sheep strayed and was on their own, that's the one that the wild dogs would go after. Can you see? You'd go after the one that's on its own. And God has created for us this understanding that you and I were not designed to be isolated. All right? We're not made to actually operate in isolation. So now, let me put it this way. The devil knows this very well, and he works very hard to try and isolate people. He's been very good at it, especially in recent years, where in the church there's like a pressure to become just yourself on your own. You all remember when we went through COVID, I always realized it at the time that the actual angle the devil had behind that whole thing was this very point, because if you recall, we were not allowed to gather. Many churches decided now we're just going to do our services online, social media, etc. And although that was fine for the time, there was a big problem involved. There was a hook attached to that. And I know many pastors said, well, our people got used to just waking up, having a cup of coffee, staying in bed, switching on the television, whatever, enjoying the service and then carrying on with their lives, you see. The connection wasn't there. And what happened is when COVID ended and we could now congregate again, a lot of people said, no, well, be happy with just doing it online, you see. What is that all about? Isolation. Can you see that? Isolation. There's something to grasp here about it. Another thing that's happened in the church, because of media, a lot of big congregations, what do? They dim the lights so that the lighting is fine, content creation. And as a result of that, people end up worshipping in darkness. Worshipping in darkness. Now, at one of our pastor's fraternals, we discussed that. And the question was, is it good to dim the lights while we're trying to worship God? And we had a discussion. And then one of the pastors asked the youth pastors that were the young generation what they thought about it. Because very often they just sit quietly by. And the one answer was, well, the young people feel exposed if the lights are on. They just feel uncomfortable. That was the term. We feel uncomfortable. And everybody said, oh, well, we understand that. And I said, no, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. Because, you know, if you're uncomfortable worshiping God in public, what sort of testimony are you? If you can't worship God openly in your church, how much chance is there of you worshiping Him openly in the public square? Can you see? What is that all about? Trying to keep people isolated. Can you see that? To keep people separated. And you see, the devil is very clever at this, because why is it that we want to live isolated lives? Why is it that the Lord said time and time and time again through the Bible, love one another, love one another, love one another? Why did He have to say that all the time? You know why? Because He realized it's not easy. All right? I'm going somewhere with this. He realized that to really love people in God's way is not easy. Why? Well, I'll tell you, and we all know this. We have the nature of Christ, yes, but we still have the world in us. And you see, what happens is very often we get hurt, all right? Very often. Why is it that everybody loves dogs so much? Why is it that there's such a almost like movement of embracing pets? We walk around here, just about every car's got dogs looking out the windows. Why are people so attracted to dogs? Now, please, there's no harm in having pets, please. We're not against pets. Everyone asks the question, are there dogs in heaven? Are there pets in heaven? I can't answer the question. All I know is that the Lord has got a white horse. I like to think that He calls it glory, but anyway, there are animals there. Okay, so let's leave it at that. But why? Well, obviously, the beauty about a dog is it won't hurt you. They won't turn around and stab you in the back. Am I right? Their love is unconditional. They can't, as it were, disappoint you. And I get the impression that so many people have been disappointed by other humans so much. What is their natural reaction? Oh, well, call it a day. I'll just live with my dog. I'll watch television, me and my dog, my cup of tea and my TV. That's the danger, you see. Why? Because once you and I isolate ourselves, guess what? We separate. And when you and I separate, you know what happens? Our potential as human beings is totally and utterly destroyed. Amen? Why? Because we were not designed that way. Can you see? We were not designed that way. We were designed for fellowship. And you see, what happens is when you and I cut ourselves off, we start to more and more live for just ourselves. Can you see that? We shrink, as it were, into a little hole. We isolate. And can I tell you something? If you and I get into the habit of isolation, that is a stepping stone to depression. Amen? It's a stepping stone to depression. Why? We were not made that way. We're not made that way. So here you see, we have this, as it were, challenge. Let's call it that. You and I were not made to live on our own. What is God wanting of us? Well, very simply, He wants us to share our lives. Very important to understand that. Share our lives. Now, let's look at this scripture with a boy that goes to this big evangelistic crusade. And might say, well, what's that got to do with the story? Well, you see, let's think about it. Yeah, this little boy, obviously things are happening. I mean, what a privilege to live in those days. And like many people, he knew about this great evangelist, man of God, and he's off to go and join them. Fortunately, before he goes off, his mother says to him, before you go, take some food. Oh, Mom, I don't need food. You take some food, you see. So anyway, off he goes. I hate to think what fish in a little bag must have smelled like after a few days. But anyway, he had this food with him. Beside the point, He's got this bag of fish and bread. I can imagine he gets so enthralled by seeing things like people just being healed, people's limbs growing, great words being preached, everybody listening so intently, and my soul, better than Netflix, obviously. And the whole crowd gets swept up in it. But as we know, the flesh kicks in, and after a while you have to eat. So we get to the place now, we're in the wilderness, and we've got to feed them. At this stage, I'm sure this little boy is thinking to himself, I'm so glad I've got a mother who thought ahead. How many of us have come to that place where at first we thought our parents didn't know what they're talking about, but later on we said to us, I'm so glad. You understand? Anyway, here's the miracle. So there's a cry for food. Now, just picture this little boy sitting there with his food. What thoughts going through his brain if he's a human being? When everybody else is expressing how hungry they are, he's probably saying, sorry for you. At least I've got a mother who knows what she's talking about, you see. So he's probably saying that. But anyway, they find him. And now the big issue is, what are you going to do with the little bit you have? All right? The beautiful thing is that that little boy handed his food over. Can you see that? That is the miracle in all of this. He was prepared to do what? Share his life. Can you see? He was prepared to just share his life. Now, why does the devil hate it when you and I share our lives? Can I tell you why? This is the key to this whole thing. When you and I are prepared to share the little we have, that is when the miracle takes place. Can you see that? When you and I are prepared to share what we have, no matter how big or small, when we're prepared to share that, that is when the miracle takes place. But if we're not prepared to share, guess what? The miracle passes by. I remember a story I often shared. It amazed me even today. I was in the supermarket at the spa, about to go to the till. A lady from the other till came over to me and said, I want to talk to you. Now, at first I thought, oh my goodness, what have I done now? But she said, you may not remember me, but I remember you. And standing next to her was a strapping young man. And she said, many years ago, in the hospital here, you came and I had my two babies and you prayed for them. All right? And the doctor has said that there's no chance that they will live. She said that. You prayed for them, and unfortunately the one did pass away, but this little one survived, and here he is here. Now, why am I sharing that? It's a wonderful thing to have happened, but can I be very honest with you? I've never ever seen myself as any great healing evangelist, you understand, or having any great healing anointing or anything like that. But what I did do in those days was, I would go to the hospitals and I would just pray for all the children. All right? That's what I would do. And I would just take the little bit I knew about faith, and we're all growing in this area, but I'd take that little bit and I'd apply it in every situation. And this was no different from any other. You understand? No different. But what I'm saying here is this. What did I do? I took my time. I took the little bit that I knew and I was prepared to share it. Can you see that? I was sharing something of my life. I didn't have to go there. Nobody paid me. You understand? But I was prepared to share it because I had some understanding that God can heal people. And of all the people I would like to see healed, although I'd like to see everybody healed, but especially children, I had a real heart for that. So what I'm saying is, because I was prepared to take the little bit that I had and to share it. Can you see that? I was prepared to share it. Because I was prepared to do that, God himself was able to do the miracle. This mother had a child. This little boy could grow into a man and have a life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All because I was prepared to do what? Just take the little bit I have and share it. Can you see? Now, if I had stayed at home and said, I don't feel like going to the hospital, you understand? If I just said, they must worry about their problems, not mine. If I just live for myself, if we just live for ourselves, guess what? We don't give God the opportunity for that miracle to take place. Can you see that? And the cry goes out to you and I to live a life which is prepared to go out there and to share our life. Amen. As we do that on a continual basis, God is able to do miracles. Right? Miracles. Is it easy? Well, that's the point, you see. It isn't. Right? Why? Because, can I be honest, very often when I went to the hospital and I wanted to pray for children, I'd always ask the parents. Some parents would say, no. You understand? He took a great risk of being totally rejected and insulted, actually, on occasions. You understand? When you and I are prepared to share our lives, the downside is that we have to expose ourselves. Can you see that? And when you and I expose ourselves, we make ourselves available to be hurt. Amen? That is the challenge. See, now we've got a choice. Do we say, okay, well, because people hurt, I don't want anything to do with people. I'll just buy myself a dog. And this is the quandary. Now, you see, you and I have to grow up in a sense. And we have to develop a tough skin. But you can only do that if we realize that that's where life is. Amen? You and I, if we get into the habit of just living for ourselves, and it does become a habit. Did you know that? It becomes a habit. What often happens is somebody hurts us, we back off. And then another person hurts us, and we back off even more. And eventually we say, no, I'm not going to do it. We were asked to go and see a lady in the old age home up the road here. We were new in the country and in the area. And being gung-ho and probably foolish, we said, yeah, of course we'll go and see her. You know, we're quite happy to do this. So off we go. We arrive, knock on the door. It took me exactly, I think, 10 seconds to realize why this lady was so alone, so bitter, and so twisted. You know why? We hadn't put our foot in the door when she started to tell us how bad everybody else was. If you have to put up with somebody telling you how bad everybody else is, no doubt, the moment you step out of the door, what's going to happen? She'll start telling everybody how bad you were. You understand? But the whole spirit of the place was just totally depressing. Now, that didn't happen overnight. Am I right? She wasn't born like that. But I can tell you what happened. In the course of life, one disappointment after another. And the point is this, she reacted the wrong way. Can you see that? Instead of saying, I don't care, I'm going to share my life anyway, she said, no, like so many people, and they start to withdraw. I can tell you, dealing with people that are battling with depression, the first step is to make a move to get out of your little hole. Amen? And you cannot do it on your own. You have to do it with others. Can you see that? We were designed to have fellowship. That's why the Lord said, love one another. Because he understood. Why did he say it over and over again? Because he understood. It wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. You understand? He knew that. That's not the love he's talking about. Much bigger than that, you see. And part of the deal is this. People disappoint. Look at the Lord himself. Is there anybody who lay down his life for people more than the Lord? Is there anyone who lay down his life more for people than the Lord? What did they do to him? Yes, the enemy killed him, but before that even happened, what did his own flesh and blood do to him, as it were, and his own disciples who he'd laid down his life for do to him? They all rejected him. They turned on him. But you see, did that stop him? You understand? Did that stop him from sharing his life? No. Can you see that? It made it more difficult, but he did it all the same. And you see, that's the cry for you and I. You and I can say, oh, well, people hurt. How many times have people said to us, oh, I got hurt in the church, so I don't go to church anymore? Have you heard that before? It's a fat excuse. That's exactly what church is there for, believe it or not. To do what? Stretch you and I. Do you really love if you're only happy with people when they're good to you? Is that really love?
No, it's not real love at all.
Is it? It's not God's kind of love, you understand? If love was only when people are good to you, God would have rejected this world a long time ago. Am I right? Have we as a church, as a people, been good to God? We've let him down many, many a times, individually and collectively. But he still loves us, you see. Why? He's bigger than that. And because he's bigger than that, and he continues to love despite us He gives himself to us. That's when the miracle happens, is it not? When people realize that he loves me despite everything, that is when people are able to respond to him and open up their lives to him. Amen. So you see, you and I have got to develop the spirit, and it's not easy. God's way is never the easy way, but it's the only way. It's the only way. What is the alternative? To slowly but surely cut ourselves off from other people, end up living just for ourselves, our immediate family, our little hole, our bubble, as it were. But you see, in that environment, what are we doing for the world? How much can God use us? Amen? What can God do with us if we just live for our immediate circle and ourselves, basically? The miracle can't happen. The miracle can't happen. And you see, we've had this horrific incident where this fine young man, Charlie Kirk, is assassinated. Here's a classic example of a man who lived his life freely. He shared his life with all who would come. Did you know that? Set up in universities, available to debate any person who wanted to talk. He was so unselfish with his life. Can you see that? Unselfish with his life. Because of that, he has influenced a whole generation throughout the world. In 30 years of life, he's done more than most people will ever achieve in 70, 80 years of life. Just through that. But was it without cost? Not at all. Being exposed like that, can you see? He was open. And what eventually happened? The enemy took advantage of that and assassinated him. But that didn't stop the miracle. Can you see that? The miracle that God was able to do was because somebody was prepared to share their life. Can you see that? And sharing your life isn't necessarily sharing the word. It's just being available to people. Amen? Being prepared to share what we are with others. Amen? It's not as if you've got to have something to give them, but we have something to give them just by being us. Can you see that? When we in company take an interest in other people and be prepared to share our lives with them. Not tell them everything, but you understand, we've got to learn how to manage this whole process of relating to people. Doesn't mean the moment you meet somebody, tell them all about your sin and everything that you've done wrong. No, that's not what it's about. But it does mean being available just to talk, all right? Making ourselves available to other people. Living our lives openly. And let me say this, it's a habit, amen? Can you see? It's something we've got to learn to do. Does it mean that everything will be fine and dandy and nobody will reject us? Not at all. Amen? It's inevitable. On some occasions when you and I meet people, they will not understand us. They might respond to us in a way that's negative. But you see, right there we have a choice. Do we say, oh, well, because of that, I'm not going to go and speak to people. Amen? The moment you and I have that attitude, we start to live for ourselves. And our world starts to shrink. Our world starts to shrink, and the degree to which God can use us begins to be reduced. So please, let's just bear this in mind. When you and I are prepared to share ourselves, that is when God can do the miracle. One more thing I'd like to just read before we close here. Many of us have probably heard what is called the prayer of Mother Teresa, but it's not a poem that she wrote. Somebody else wrote it. What she did with it is she stuck it on one of her orphanages, an abridged version. But I'll tell you what it's called. It was originally called Ten Paradoxical Commandments by a person of the name Dr. Kent M. Keith. He wrote this in 1968. He's still alive. He's a Bible lecturer and dean of a big faculty in Hawaii. But it's attributed to Mother Teresa because she obviously was struck by this, and it captures very much what her life was about. And it's about doing it anyway. All right, so I'll just read it for us. It says this. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. We can all agree with that. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. Amen. So you see, I'm encouraging us to live that kind of life. Be prepared to share your life. Yes, we will be hurt. Yes, we will be knifed in the back. People will let us down. We will let others down. Let's be honest. But let's do it anyway. Can you see the thinking? Why? Because if you and I are prepared to live like that, we will live large lives and God will be able to do great things through us, which ultimately is what it's all about. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it us, we pray, in your mighty name, and help us to live our lives unselfishly, Lord. Not allow the devil to put us in a little hole and isolate us from humanity, but help us to have more and more influence because of our preparedness to share not just ourselves, but the you in us, that your kingdom may grow in your mighty name. Amen.